Crosstalk.
All right, Mace, that's enough.
We don't have time.
We don't have time for this. Okay, John, so you have...
You want me to set this up a little bit as far as happened for 3 hours, John?
Yeah. John, sure. Have you gotten to listen to any of our show today?
I have been told that you have overhyped this, Travis, to the point of exhaustion.
I have?
That you have. And Emily, by the way, Emily, you admit something. Your parents had to deal with you opening your Christmas presents early, didn't they?
No, I always open my Christmas. Hey, I was told by multiple people to text you. I was told by everybody to text you.
I wake up to a text this morning from Emily. Yep. Hey, we don't need to wait for you and Mason. We can tell the story multiple times. Come on.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I was trying to be convincing.
No, that's the right way to do it. That the idea that there was this great story that Alan was a part of, Travis and Sliwa show.
Which we, by the way, have no idea what it is.
Which is still on the air for another 4 minutes.
the story.
Another 16 minutes. So this is the setup we've been waiting.
John, you
want to
wait till Monday? You want to wait till Monday?
Yeah, let's string it along.
Yeah, I agree.
Gentlemen. Right,
even so, boss Amanda is in studio for this announcement.
I've been extremely annoyed by this whole thing.
Well, that's a good start.
There you go.
That's a good start.
That's aggressive.
Okay, good to know. All right, so if, for people who don't know, yesterday Mason often issues me monetary challenges.
Yes.
And yesterday he said, I'll give you $100. He heard about this strip club somewhere in Vegas called the Peppermint Hippo.
Yes.
And he said, Ireland, you wouldn't be caught dead in the Peppermint Hippo.
No, not John Ireland.
I'll give you $100 if you go. And then Travis piggybacked it and goes, I'd give $100 if you guys went to the Peppermint Hippo.
Mm-hmm.
So you're $200. And then Mason, convinced later in the day that I really wasn't going to do it, added another $100.
$100.
$300 in the pot.
$300 if we made an appearance at the Peppermint Hippo.
Yes.
And let me just start by saying, we really, really wanted to go. There was a bunch of crap going on. The game ended late. Slee had to do a post-game Laker thing from the arena.
Right.
We really wanted to go. So we did.
Yes.
And I am sending you 8 pictures.
Nice.
Of proof of Sliwa and I at the Peppermint Hippo. Now, that
describes
like,
the Peppermint Hippo.
Okay.
First off, let's just do this. So we're at the Lakers game and we're getting ready. This is, I think the broadcast is just about to start. John hits me with an elbow to my right, my left, and is like, hey, Slee, what do you think after the game we go to Peppermint Hippo? I'm like, John, they're about to do the starting lineup right now. What are we doing? We're going to Peppermint Hippo. You and I, John Ireland Alsu, we're going to Peppermint Hippo after the game.
Right.
Yeah, I think it would be good. Okay, leave it alone.
All right.
Pay no attention. Do the post-game show. Start walking to the hotel. Send John a text. I'm like, hey, I'm back at the hotel. Great. I'll get us a taxi. Next thing I know, John is sitting. We're both sitting in the line trying to get some other people to come. Nobody's coming. We're both sitting in the line for the taxi. John in his Los Angeles Lakers voice to the taxi. So where are you guys going? We are going to the Peppermint Hippo. Guy that turns around twice.
Could not have been more clear.
John is wearing the same clothes that he was wearing at the broadcast.
Nice,
shirt is
classy.
Tucked in. He looks professional, very ready to go. And the next thing you know, we are on our way to Peppermint Hippo. However, we went to Peppermill because our taxi took us to a restaurant called Peppermill.
Great breakfast.
To the Peppermill?
Yeah, so great late night breakfast. You guys will notice that one of those pictures is of the Peppermill.
Yes.
Which is where he took us originally, and we went, no, we got to go to the Peppermint Hippo. So we get to the Peppermint Hippo.
Yes.
And we start looking around, and the first thing we notice is no pictures. You're not allowed to take pictures inside the Peppermint Hippo.
Inside the Hippo, right.
So we walk up to the guy at the front, this really good dude named Sabo.
He was
the manager.
Is that the picture that is...
That's the third person.
Picture?
Yeah, he's the guy in the middle in between me and Sway. That's Sabo. It's his birthday
Sabo
today.
Sabo is
Happy
a
birthday,
manager. Bob, by the way, is the general manager. We happen to get cards from everybody
we are now
there.
Many celebrities.
And if anybody ever needs
Hippo.
To go, we can get you hooked up. Go ahead, John.
Okay, so we explain to Sabo what we're up. Hey, we're like the two straightest arrows at this radio station we work at. Nobody thinks we were ever going to come over here. I know you have strict rules against taking pictures. Can we take a few? I promise we won't take any pictures of the girls dancing on stage. We won't do anything you know, without getting your
permission. Right, right.
And he said, sure. So then they let us take that picture I just sent you of the actual silver hippo.
Of the hippo.
Yeah, and then he goes, let me find you a couple of girls. So he finds a couple of girls. That's the picture of me and Slee with the two girls.
I don't know
and
if I got that so one.
Slee oh, there I got that one. Yeah, yeah. Okay. They're so both dancers?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Slee and I at this point are pretty full of ourselves. We think, okay, we just stuck it to you two. You're going to give us $300. We're going to have a drink, and we're out of here.
By the way, we're going to have a drink because they gave us a comp drink.
Sure.
They gave us literally a ticket, a coupon.
And, by the way, waived the cover when we told them what we were up to.
Nice.
Normally it was a $50 cover, and they waived the cover.
$50?
Yeah, that's serious.
And so we're in. He hands us a drink ticket. The manager takes it. He goes, I got a great table for you guys. So he comes and sits down at the table, and Slee and I are just laughing because we've got $300 from you guys. What happens next was not only entirely predictable, but is exactly what probably should have happened in this story.
Okay.
Slee and I, first of all, I sit down, one of these girls saddles right up to Slee.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Right next to
that's,
her.
Sure. That's how they make a living.
It's because I'm so good looking and my right, personality right. Right. Has a lot to do with that.
Then, exactly. Then one of the other girls comes and literally sits right on my lap.
Okay.
She too is making a living.
And then, oh, now keep in mind, I told Slee this. I'm not a strip club guy. I haven't been in a strip club since the 80s. No yes. Exaggeration. Like when I was in college.
Probably
I
playing just, the same and, music, by the way.
Right, right. So Slee and I are feeling kind of good that we pulled one over on you two. And we've got a free drink. So we order a couple of Worthy Splashes, Trav, because okay. Slee nice. Hadn't tried one yet.
Nice. Those are quite
got
good.
Got a little tequila, a little pineapple splash, some ice. And the next thing we know, the girls say to us, well, will you buy us a drink? And we say, sure, we're
I
in good mood.
I know this trick.
You go just ahead. Spent okay. the $300 that Mason and
trick.
I were
Trav,
giving you.
Oh, no. Stay
yeah,
with
yeah,
me.
Trav, yeah. This,
stay
this
with
beginning.
Me.
By the way, John, before you go any further, I thought, the whole thing I thought was, we're going to go take a picture next to this, next to the hippo, and then we're going to take off. We're done. We're leaving, right? Hey, it's
we
funny. Look at these pictures.
Holding the cab.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, take the pictures, get back in the cab.
Okay, next thing I know, first off, when we walk in, there's basically six girls that are waiting and lining up to talk to us. And it's probably not because John and I think we have pretty good personalities.
Right,
okay?
Right, sure.
So right out the gate, you're being bombarded with, I don't even know what's going
attention.
On. Like,
girls and are I'm, just coming at you.
Mace, and
in
I'm trying
lingerie.
To explain. I'm trying to explain. I'm like, guys, I know this is, okay, it's not what you think it is. We're here. It's radio. We're probably going to be taken off. Next thing I know, John is with one of the managers. He's like, hey, Slee, they're giving us a whole VIP tour. I'm like, what? What's going on? As you know, it's like a gang of people all walking, and now John is like getting us a tour of the entire place. I still don't know what's going on. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, he's taking me to the VIP room and to
nice.
The backstage and to the other thing else. And he goes, you guys want a table right by the main stage? And again, we're not staying. And we said, sure. So we sit down. We use our free drink coupon, and the girls say, would you buy us a drink? And by
there's
this time,
three of them. They're ordering.
Three girls,
like, yeah,
three girls
just
at the
ordering
table.
Whatever.
So the bill comes, and I got the cab, so Slee goes, I'll get the drinks.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, thanks. Okay, so we got two free drinks. So he was buying three drinks.
Yes.
And they were a little pricey, but not too bad.
Okay.
And then we start talking to the girls, and the girls start dancing. And I look at Slee, and I go, you want to roll? And Slee gives me this look like, they're being so nice to us. Let's have one more. Let's have a paid drink.
Okay. So Slee you know, like, wants
and,
to stay.
Well, no, he didn't want to stay, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Slee.
I was pot committed. I was pot committed.
Well, and you felt kind of like, hey, they've been really cool about this. We haven't paid for anything yet. Let's you know, throw them a bone. Let's buy the girls some drinks, give them a tip. And so since they played along with our dumb bit.
Yes.
So we're into drinks round two. And the drinks come. And next thing I know, more girls are coming over, and they're asking if we'll buy them drinks. And Slee and I are like, well, we really – and some Slee doesn't –
They found the dumbasses, and they're yeah, like, they yeah, this like, is a great opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're the
mark. Oh, Trav, Marks, plural.
Yeah, plural, right, Marks.
If you don't see the dummy at the table, it's you.
So they bring the second round. Well, this time it wasn't with the comp drinks.
Of course not.
So what? See, what was the bill for the second round of drinks?
Can I guess before you say it? How many drinks did you buy?
All right, so 8 drinks.
8 drinks was,
and I'll give you the total with tip.
It's okay.
$200.
No, it's
200.
More than that.
Is
it's
it?
More, it's more than that. It's. I'm going to say it's $350.
About 280. Okay. Right around 280.
Okay. Yeah. So at this
right
point, we've blown all of the money that we won off of you guys because we're doofuses. Oh, but it gets worse.
Oh.
So then at this point, Slee and I go, okay, the boat, the canoe is now over the waterfall. Yeah. We got to get out of here.
Oh, by the way, when we say we're leaving, they're like, cool, can we get one more drink? I'm like,
oh yeah,
this
they did that.
This is going well.
Yeah. As soon as we were leaving, they all said, well, do you mind buying us one more? And we're like, sure. So we were there. We were there 30, 40 minutes total.
Yeah. Yeah, probably about a half hour.
And at this point, we're trying to be good guys. We're asking them, you know, where they're from, what their background is. We kind of make
they're used to that. Hey,
Mace,
where's
from? Mace, if you what's heard the conversations,
where you
heard the conversations.
Oh yeah,
John Mace, and I are having with these individual women.
It was
I'm like, so,
as bad as you think it is. It was like that bad. And there's
so there, what grocery store do you guys use
so
out here?
After the second time we say we're leaving, this girl, the one girl, starts working.
What's her name? What's her name?
Oh, I don't
Candy?
Remember.
Candy.
No.
Probably
but
Mercedes. Mercedes.
No, she gives me this.
Mercedes.
Mercedes. There was 100% of Mercedes in there.
Yeah.
100%.
She goes, I didn't understand. Why are you leaving? And I go, oh, we got to meet some people. And she goes, well, you got to give me 15 minutes to take you in the back.
Oh.
And I went, no, I'm not that guy. I go. I don't mean to offend you. You're beautiful, but I'm not that guy. I'm not going. I don't want to lap dance. I'm not going in the back. You know, blah blah blah. She literally, Travis pulls out a lollipop and starts licking it.
Really?
And goes, are you sure? And I said, I'm very flattered. Yes, I'm sure. They finally, the three girls at our table finally realize that we're not going to the back. Like,
yeah.
Slee and I are not like lap dance.
Not going to the executive
room. But I thought
yeah.
they liked you guys.
Right. Well, I am doing the post. I'm doing the post game from there tonight.
Live from the hippo.
Okay. I thought you really made an impact.
So listen to this, though. So they say to us, as we were getting up to leave, one of them mentions it to Slee and the other two mention it to me. They say, would you mind giving us a tip for our time? Since
wow.
we spent all this time with you guys. And I went, you know, I didn't know what to say. So I said, sure. And I opened my wallet and I don't have enough money to tip them. And I go, I'm very sorry. She goes, ATM right around the corner.
Yeah, I heard ATM
a couple times
yesterday.
Yeah. ATM.
What
so
was
I
the
get
surcharge
up,
on the ATM? About 40%?
20%.
Yeah. Guys, 20%. Have you never been to a strip club before?
Yeah. Whoa.
No, Trav, literally, never.
Strip club 101.
Mercedes had a lollipop because you guys are suckers.
This is every single strip club that anyone has ever been
to
in
really, entire
life.
I thought she really liked me.
Oh, yeah. I'm not done yet, Trav.
Oh,
so I go to the ATM, pay the $20.
There's
going to
be a gun in this
surcharge.
Story at some point.
No. But I will. I've got an epilogue. But so I go to the ATM, and of course, the ATM only distributes hundreds.
Hundreds, right?
Of course, yes.
Of course.
And I've got three girls. Okay. So
no.
I didn't know what to do. We were in the I gave him each 100 and we left.
Oh!
We ended up spending.
We're about red 600 right now. We're in the red 6.
Yeah, we're between 6 and 700 now.
Wow. And you did not so get
for 30 minutes
meaningful out of it. Like the guys in
not
normally,
only
Mace,
we had a great
lollipop.
I had a great conversation.
Yeah, like a
I had a great dialogue on my side.
I'm
it was
sure
just,
you did.
It was
I'm
wonderful.
Sure it was very conversational.
Not only did I not get anything meaningful, I dodged a bullet. Because I found out later that had I agreed to go in the back with this girl
mm-hmm.
so she could, as she put it, rock my world for 15 minutes.
Sure.
That would have been another 600 sure. on top of the 600 that we already spent.
You guys know they're running a business,
and,
right?
Now we do. And
I tried using my AAA card. It does not work.
They don't take the AAA card out.
Wow. So, the bottom line is, we are the two biggest dopes in Vegas. We had $300 in our pocket. from you two idiots who
and
dared
spent.
Us to go. And
I'd be
somehow
careful throwing
managed...
around that word idiot right about now.
Oh, don't, Trap. Tell me who the biggest chumps are in this story. I mean, come on. To not only blow the 300 you gave us, but then go way past 300 more for no reason. That's how dumb we were.
Yeah.
And, well, and so,
so
that,
now
that
will
is
you,
the story.
Will you go back?
Well, Mace, I can't tell you how many times they said, hey, so how long are you guys in town for?
Right.
And John would say, we leave Friday morning. They're like, okay, great. Well, listen, here's my car. We're going to have a car, or we'll have a car come pick you up at the hotel. We'll take care of you. Come
really?
Back tomorrow,
wow.
guys. Come sure. on down.
Sure.
They're well, very inviting.
By the way,
what a night.
They were so happy with us when we walked outside to get a cab. The GM goes, oh, screw that, and calls his limo driver and has his limo driver personally escort us back to the hotel.
Damn.
And,
so,
and leaves us with, hey, call me when you guys want to come back tomorrow.
Well, yeah,
I'll
you
come
guys
pick
just spent $600
up.
In a half an hour.
In 30
of course
minutes.
They want you to come back.
30 minutes. I mean, I had
never made any easier money than when you guys walked through the door. Amanda, you've been
oddly
quiet through
it was
all of this.
It was embarrassingly obvious what suckers we were.
Yeah, boss. I mean, Amanda, what is your take on Slee and Ireland's evening in Vegas?
Well, I feel like I've heard this story many times from different men that I know.
Yeah, well... But for these two, for Ireland and Sliwa,
you would think we would be smarter.
But Ireland takes bets, first of all. So that
yes, correct.
No, I'm not surprised that they went to cash in on the winnings.
That part doesn't surprise me.
That makes sense. But that you guys were so easily taken to the hoop after that is even – I know both you guys a little bit. I know that that's not the lane that you live in on a weekend-to-weekend basis. But this is – this is literally this is
such
the
a good
addition and subtraction of running a strip joint.
Right, right.
This is how they make their
this
money.
Is,
this is
it.
How they
yeah.
do it. They treat you like you're air quotes special.
We'll send a limo.
And then the next thing you know, here's the bill, and you're like, wait, I thought we were friends.
She this said is I was the, so handsome.
This is it.
And nothing. Unbelievable.
Wow.
No, that was our first drink of the night. Was there?
No, no. But then Amanda, we get back to the hotel. All right, they drop us off. It's like 2:30 in the morning.
You took the limo back.
Yeah, we took
the
limo back.
The club limo.
They spent so much money.
How much did you tip the limo driver? So were you out some more?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
yes.
just we just gave him a 20.
Did you guys end
between
up with
six,
a-
probably between six and 700? I think we spent on the night.
Wow. Yeah, total combined in a half hour.
And you didn't get any of the fancy.
By the way, hey,
the
Mace,
extras
Mace.
As they say.
Mace.
No
Mace, I call Lady Slee, and I'm like, hey,
oh, yeah.
I don't really have much to explain right now, but I'm going to a strip club with John Ireland. And she's like, okay, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, I'll call you later.
Wow.
So, Mace?
By the way.
That part we haven't done yet. We haven't had that conversation yet.
Now,
well,
Ivan,
you know, you,
is Lisa well, John?
No, this is the first she'll be hearing of this right now on the air. But, Mace, you know this.
Yep.
I'm getting it all back at the tables tonight.
Oh, of course you are.
It's a foolproof plan. There's no way I can lose.
So
the place
sad.
Has been built on guys making money at the tables after a night at the strip joint.
Exactly.
This is exactly what it is. All right,
by the way, it got highly entertaining after that. We get back to the hotel, and it's like 2:30, and we run into one of the Lakers security guys, and he's got two girls with him. And Slee, you can back me up on this. I don't think I've ever seen two people as inebriated as these two girls who are still upright.
Oh, wow.
One of them was next level. It was really next level. She went to the restroom, and I'm like, I don't know how she's going to get there, and I don't know how she's going to get back.
Yeah, that's good.
And that was the one that I had convinced at some point of the night. She was so drunk that I convinced that her and I had hooked up in Miami, and I was really offended that she didn't remember me. And it she was
wait, this was made up though.
Oh, completely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it, it's like it's,
you convincing
that,
her that
that's
hooked
not
up in Miami.
True. I go, it is true. I go, look at your phone. I'm in your phone.
Wow.
I go, my name's. I go. Oh, that's where I was. That's where I was heading, Amanda.
Bucks.
I never got that far. Yeah, I never got that.
Wow, well, what a night.
I was going to say, what do you got planned for tonight?
Yeah, I was going to say, anything you guys want us to do tonight, we have one more night here.
Sounds like go to the tables and lose some more.
Let's just say you two need to Venmo us that money as soon as possible so it can lessen our debt.
Deal. It will be done.
Deal, you got it. All right, Mason.
All right, Trav, did that story...
Did you like it or no?
Or exceed your expectations?
It exceeded mine.
It is a perfectly fine story that I've heard hundreds of times.
I am entertained just because it's Ireland and Sliwa.
But two straight white stiffs walk into a strip joint and get taken to the hoop. It's not the first time I've heard the story. It's not the first time.
It's happened to others.
Yes.
I feel taken advantage of. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. Hard to imagine. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I like the story a lot better than everybody else does. I'm thoroughly satisfied. Bergman, I thought it was a great story coming from John Ireland down on Sliwa.
Because it was John and Slee, I liked it. But my favorite part, John, what are you thinking going to a strip club and saying, I work at ESPN and for
that's
the Lakers?
No, I didn't say either one of those.
Oh, okay, good.
You said
at the station that you, you know.
Yeah, so we're radio guys from LA and Yeah, and we're doing a bit.
Okay, so you didn't say ESPN. That's good.
No. Didn't say Lakers.
You don't remember any of the girls' names?
I don't Slee Mite.
Muffin?
Slee Mite. I don't remember.
That's a real name.
Fantasia.
Hey, by the way, we're on Mason and Ireland Plus today, so you can check us out on YouTube. Search ESPN LA. That's an eventful night. That's probably one of your better nights in Vegas, don't you think?
It was more
memorable.
It's a night I'll never forget.
Yeah, there you go.
That was for sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
So as for the game, I watched the first half last night. It looked good.
The first half I thought was fine.
First half mattered, right? Because they were up 7 at the half. LeBron was done for the night. Westbrook and Beverly played a couple of more minutes, but the starters.
Kendrick Nunn looked really good.
Kendrick Nunn. Austin Reeves almost had a 5-by-5.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, and you're right. Kendrick Nunn was really good, too.
Tonight, they're going to rest almost everybody. No LeBron, no AD, no Russ, probably no Pat Beverly.
Must listen radio.
Yes, it is. Get ready for the Kendrick Nunn, Scottie Pippen Jr. show.
Now,
I'll
say this. Through two preseason games, I think the Lakers are playing with more urgency already than they were playing towards the end of last year. Like, they're out there, and they're playing hard. And I like that. That's as much as you can expect during the preseason.
Well, their defense is better. But one thing that I think is going to be interesting is they're a top-heavy roster. Most of their talent's at the top of the roster, LeBron, AD, Westbrook, Nunn. If those guys get hurt or are unavailable, the guys below that seem to be less than the other teams' bench.
The roster.
That's when the games have been lost.
Right.
So we'll see what happens tonight, but we'll see.
So I noticed, this is very Shidano and Cappy, but I noticed that it is inbox zero day. Inbox zero day. Apparently, it is very important to some people to have no unattended emails in their email box. Do you have, how many emails are in your email box? If you open your email, how many are there?
Or unread or just in there?
How many are in there?
Oh, probably 10,000.
Is that what it is? Probably. I have 20,705 emails
that hurts my heart.
In my inbox. Why?
Because, no, it needs
zero. Why are people
zero?
So...
It's so frustrating to see that. Yeah, no, it is. It is that. It's exactly that. Because it has to be nothing. No red dots anywhere on the phone, period.
I agree.
Jorge, you don't...
No, I'm that way. I don't leave... I go to bed every night with my inbox at zero.
Do you really?
Oh, you get rid of 10,000 in a day?
No. I've read, I've opened every email.
But you haven't deleted them.
No. I mean, I keep a lot of emails because you never know when you want to look back at them. But
right.
In terms of, I'm that guy, like Lisa, my wife, has thousands and thousands of unopened emails.
Me too.
I have zero unopened emails.
That's the way to be. Zero unopened emails, zero red dots on your phone.
Juan
period.
Is a zero email guy, too. He has to zero out his email every day. Jorge, you look like you're...
No, John knows this very well. I don't check it. I just mark them all as red. That's it.
You don't even check them.
So true.
Mark as red.
John, coming up a little bit later on, Sean McVay is going to... By the way, huge show, busy show. We got Sean McVay coming up about 1:45 or so. We got Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto at 2. We got Anita Marks, our gambling expert, at 2:15. So lots of football coming at you. But I have been challenged, John. Actually, Michael Thompson would be proud of me because I'm going to do this. When Sean McVay comes on, I am going to once again ask if Matthew Stafford is too cup reliant. What do you think he will say?
Here's what I don't understand about this line of questioning that you continue to
dwell on. This line of questioning, yes.
It would be one thing if he was throwing it every time to Cooper Kupp and Cooper Kupp wasn't catching it or bad things were happening. He threw the ball, he targeted Cooper Kupp 19 times in the 49er game.
And we lost badly.
And he caught 15 of them.
But 14. We lost badly. So
seems...
is that working? I mean, in other words, if Stafford is only looking for Kupp, now he also has Higbee. He's relying on Kupp and Higbee. Higbee, I think, had 8 or 9 catches in that game. But Allen Robinson, nowhere to be seen. We don't have Van Jefferson back. Ben Skoranek, maybe a catch or two. I mean, the ball is going completely, it's completely focused on Cooper Kupp. And to me, you've got to move the football around and have other receivers that you can count on. And this is one of the reasons why I think Allen Robinson is not involved. I think Matthew Stafford would prefer to throw to Kupp over Robinson.
No, not
wouldn't
really.
Wouldn't you prefer to throw to Kupp over Robinson?
I'm looking at a team that is 2-2 and has not played a good game. Are we doing it right? I watched that Niners game. Are we doing it right? Did that offense look good? Was it effective? We did not score a touchdown. We did not score more than 10 points.
Other than the NFC Championship game, in McVay's previous 9 meetings with the Niners, did the offense ever look good?
Previous 9 meetings with the Niners.
Niners' defense always causes the Rams trouble.
Right, but we couldn't score in Buffalo.
Well, Buffalo's got the best team in the league.
We were bad against Atlanta. We scored points, but Atlanta almost came back on us. We couldn't score against Arizona. We scored enough.
I think that you're not focusing on what the real problem is.
Which?
It's the offensive
line. Well, it is the offensive line. There's
Stafford
no question.
Stafford doesn't have time to throw. They can't run the ball. And when you're rushed and you're hurried, of course you're going to try and throw it to Kupp because you know he'll get open. But if he had more time to throw, I think he would do a better job of spreading the ball around, don't you?
He sacked the third most of any quarterback in the NFL. He was sacked 7 times in that game against San Francisco and had 11 quarterback hits. There's no question about that the offensive line is a gigantic issue. I just think Stafford looks at Kupp and doesn't look to other receivers. And by the way, I get it. I was looking at that game. This is so weird. So I was a little stoned looking at that game.
Shocked.
And I realized that Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp are so connected that Stafford is just throwing the ball to where he thinks Kupp is going to be, and that's where Kupp is going to be. They are connected that way. He doesn't have that connection with Allen Robinson. He doesn't know that Allen Robinson is going to be in that spot when he throws to that spot. So he's leaning on Kupp too much, I think. What do you think McVay is going to say?
I don't think he'll say,
no, not
really.
No, not really.
I think what he'll say is that all these issues we're talking about are related. If they can get them a little more time to throw, then they can run the ball. If they can run the ball, they can get more open. I am curious, and I guess this would be a better question for Les Snead.
Mm-hmm.
Why move off of Robert Woods and let OBJ kind of dangle in the wind and bring in Allen Robinson?
Like, I have no idea what that means.
Wouldn't Robert Woods be a better fit right now than Allen Robinson?
Yep.
So I wonder.
Much better. Had a connection with Matthew Stafford.
Right, right. So that's one thing that I'm wondering about. And Mace, at this point, give OBJ a contract. Just sign him to keep him away from other teams. Because, he's going to be ready in November, and you want him on your team.
But I don't think he wants to sign a contract at the moment. I think he enjoys all this sort of compete for OBJ thing. They've got – his locker is still there at SoFi Stadium, reserved for OBJ. There's a lot of mutual love between OBJ and the Rams. I just think he likes the drama of, am I going to Buffalo? Oh, I'm going to the Rams. I don't think he wants to sign nor needs to sign a contract right now.
I think if you
– he's going to land somewhere in November.
Yeah, there are ways to get people to come off of that. I mean, just pay him a little more money. But are you pretty confident OBJ is going to re-sign with the Rams?
I am confident that OBJ is going to re-sign.
I'm not so sure anymore. Because if the Rams – let's say the Rams are 4-4 after 8 weeks.
Right.
And Buffalo is 6-2.
Right.
Or 7-1. I think then he takes a closer look at Buffalo, tries to get another ring.
We will find out. And Sean McVay, again, is coming up for you, so make sure you're here for that. All right, Wheel of Questions is next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. Ireland, it is a wheel of randos today. I grabbed a bunch of tweets from just random people on Twitter asking questions, put them all in the wheel, and here's the one that came up. So this rando says, if the definition is rings, the Marlins debuted in 1993. Since then, they have won two World Series championships. The Dodgers have just won one. They also blew up their championship teams. Who is the more successful franchise, the Marlins or the Dodgers?
Why do you believe? What's that?
Next question.
No, this is a great question. I love this question.
I'm kidding.
I don't even think it's close. The Dodgers are in the playoffs every year. The Marlins win a World Series, then blow the whole thing up and come back 10 years later.
But isn't it really about rings? The Marlins have more rings since 1993 than the Dodgers do.
Yeah, you've got to – I mean, if you're a fan of a team, you've got to enjoy the process a little bit.
Oh, wait, who are you, Dave Roberts all of a sudden? We're winning the World Series in 2022?
No, I think this – if the you're the one that wants the Dodgers to go out and celebrate when they win the division and pour champagne over everybody's head.
I want every team to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, so you're content with winning the division.
No, I'm content with celebrating at each hurdle that you clear.
What are you celebrating?
Celebrating that you made the playoffs, celebrating you won the NLDS, celebrating you won the NLCS.
Okay, so using that theory,
yep.
Why wouldn't you celebrate after winning every game?
After winning every game, because
yeah, they won,
because that's
they won
not
yesterday.
A hurdle. They won 111 times. That's not a hurdle. Regular season games are not a hurdle. You don't celebrate. And by the way, sometimes they do. Sometimes they throw the bucket of confetti or the bucket of water on the guy doing the post game interview. All that said, there is celebration throughout the course of a baseball season. It's not as though it's completely dry and nobody's into it and nobody's having fun. The question is, if we really do measure things in rings, and by the way, I say the Dodgers win the World Championship this year, or it's a disaster. It is a complete and total, utter failure. This will be remembered as the most disappointing season in a long time for the Dodgers, if they don't win it. And I think they're going to.
But that's a complete reversal of what you said a month ago.
Yeah, no. I went back and listened to the Dave Roberts sound. Dave Roberts guaranteed the World Series championship this year. I'm holding him to his word.
I think they're going to – they'll be the favorite, and they've got a great chance to do it. But I don't think that your team – only one team can win it. You can still have a good season if you don't win the World Series. You just can't have a great one. You know, you can't have a great season. Like last year, the Memphis Grizzlies had a really good season.
But if they don't win, John, if the Dodgers don't win and they've won 111 games, you don't think people are going to look back at that and say someday, oh, yeah, remember the year they won 111 games and didn't even win the World Series? Who cares?
Well, the team that won the most games recently was the Seattle Mariners, and they won 116.
Flop.
I think it was 2001 and lost. The team that broke the record for most regular season wins in the NBA in 2016 was the Golden State Warriors. They won 73 games.
Flop.
And then lost to LeBron in the playoffs. So we already know what it'll be if they lose. Those teams are looked at as not great all-time teams.
So I guess in the end, Bergman, what's your take on this?
So I think, well, the question itself, I think it's the Dodgers just by wins alone. I mean, if it's the most successful.
Yeah, if you look at total wins over that
they
period,
are the more successful franchise, even though they have one less ring. But the overall thing, this is a bad year if they don't win the World Series. This is, and you're talking about the Seattle Mariners. That's the Seattle Mariners. We're talking about the L.A. Dodgers. It's just like if the Lakers, there's nothing but championship or bust for these types of teams. It's, and I would even say that the Warriors at that 73-9 year, they're still kind of the Warriors more than they are the Celtics, the Knicks, the Lakers, you know, those types of teams. The Dallas Cowboys only measure themselves by championships. The Dodgers measure themselves by championships. So this is a disaster if they don't win because of who they are specifically.
And people over the Dodgers be upset because, you know, cleared a hurdle, won 111, all that's it's a complete failure if you don't win the World Series. A complete and total utter failure.
If you win the World Series, you can actually be in the conversation for the best team
in history.
Ever in history.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you lose, it's over. None of it matters.
So that's from some rando on Wheel of Questions. All right, so John, I wanted to ask you about Billy Mack.
Okay.
Who does the games for Spectrum.
I'm
going to
see,
TV,
I'm gonna see him in a couple hours.
Okay. So I have a challenge for you. Billy Mack has got a couple of signature promotional reads. Do you know which ones I'm talking about?
Well, I know Morongo is one.
Morongo! Good times.
And I think he has Jack in the Box. He does something
Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box.
Well, so your challenge isn't for me.
No, it's for you.
Mike.
No, it's
for Michael.
Oh, Michael does those reads.
Michael does the reads, yeah.
Oh, God. Michael will not play.
He'll do it.
You think he will?
No, he'll do it.
What's a sponsor that would work?
Well, we have both those. Have him do more. I will encourage Michael to do Morongo tonight like Billy.
It's really hard. Morongo, good times.
I got this for Michael.
See, you're a SoCal Hyundai dealer. You're going to find that millions already have found out that the longer you look at a new Hyundai, the more there is to like about a new Hyundai.
So we obviously did this challenge last year.
Yeah.
I'm just endlessly entertained by Billy Mack doing Morongo, good times. So good.
I will issue your challenge to Michael tonight and tell him to have some fun because, as you know, this game will be probably the most listened to game of the year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be big. All right, so we'll let you know that coming up for you, Matthew Berry, top of the hour, Anita Marks, 2:15, and Coach McVay is going to join us coming up here in this next segment. I want to, and you mentioned the offensive line. A lot of this comes down to third string center Jeremiah Colon, who came from the practice squad last week, or 2 weeks ago, to starting center this week. My God, the pressure on this kid has got to be unbelievable.
Right, and that's, the line is something that isn't talked about a lot because it's not glamorous, but it might be the most important cog in the wheel. If you don't give them time to, you know, throw and see the field, you're dead.
Yeah.
And San Francisco's really good at attacking the quarterback.
Yeah, he never has a clean pocket. And by the way, the Dallas Cowboys get to the quarterback with regular efficiency. In fact, here's Michael Irvin talking about the Dallas defense.
And what you're looking at on that defensive line is something finger licking good.
There you go. That Dallas defensive line is finger licking good. They are good. We got our hands full on Sunday. And you know the thing that bums me out? And I look, this is going to happen, whether I like it or not. There are going to be tons and tons and tons of Cowboy fans at the game. Probably, what, 50%?
At least. I think a lot of Ram fans sold their tickets.
I did not sell
just
mine,
so
Jono.
Pay for the other games.
I did not
sell
mine.
Yeah, well, you
mine.
Never do. You like to be at the big games. But the I bet you a lot of other Lakers season ticket or Ram season ticket holders did.
Yeah.
And you can't blame them. If they can pay for the whole season with one
game,
I can blame them.
If you're supporting your team, why would you let the stadium fill up with the other? Well, but I mean, still, what's the point of buying season tickets if you're not going to use them for the big games? Like, why make that investment if you're not going to use them for when a team like Dallas comes in?
Well, but the argument is if you don't have as much money as, let's say, you do, and you can pay for the entire season by selling the Cowboy game, I would do it. Especially
sell
if you're
rooting
for money. Yeah, I'd sell the Cowboy game. And, yeah. I mean, the games that I wouldn't want to miss are the playoff games.
It's a bit. It's kind of a bummer to see a bunch of the other team in the stadium. But at the end, I think it makes it a very fun environment. As long as they're not Buffalo fans. Buffalo fans were obnoxious and drunk and in your – I told you about that guy that got in my face at the Buffalo game. I think Cowboy fans have got to be classier than that, don't they?
No.
Ah, good.
Cowboy fans are – yeah, Cowboy fans are quite confident, if you know what I mean.
Yes. All right, coming up next for you, we anticipate hearing from Coach Sean McVay of the Los Angeles Rams, Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Star of the 4-0 last place Mace Hollywood Football League fantasy. John, it was a fantasy to win the league at the beginning of the year, but now I think it's a real possibility.
I'm telling you, the minute you drafted Mahomes and you already had Cooper Kupp, you put you in the running to win the whole thing.
Yes.
I think you're definitely going to finish in the money. Top five is in the money, and I think you got a chance to win it all.
And by the way, thank you very much for chipping in. John already got into the spirit of things.
Visit Toyota.com. They make it easy. I'm going to do that all night.
Good. Yeah, emphasize. Yep. All right, so actually, we didn't get this Tom Brady thing. Hold that. All right, this is a nice thing before we get to Coach McVay. Stephen Vogt of the A's played in his last game yesterday. Last day of baseball season was a Wednesday because the playoffs start tomorrow. But they did something neat at the beginning of his at-bat. His kids got to do the introduction.
Our daddy! Our dad! Number 21,
That's very cool. Very fun. And he, by
is
the
he
way,
retiring?
Went on, he's retiring, yeah. He went on to hit a home run later in the game. But that was his last game, and his kids got to do the introduction, which I thought was fun. Since we got another minute, this is Rex Ryan. Do you know the context of this? This has been on our sheet for a long time. Rex Ryan, can I interest you in 10 seconds of Rex Ryan yodeling on the side of a mountain?
I saw it, and he embraces this moment. He's like dressed like you would dress to be a yodeler, and this is like 10 seconds of Rex Ryan yodeling. Just play it.
Rex Ryan, such
now,
a goof.
Can you yodel?
No, do you?
Let me try. Play him, Craig. Play him again.
Okay.
Orale, oh, dee, orale, oh, woo. I sound like an owl.
Bergman, do you have it?
Yodelé, 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 hee hoo.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's actually good.
You're
a good yodeler. Yodelé, hee hoo.
Yeah.
Everybody, Jorge.
Yodelé, 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 hee hoo.
There you go. See? Not so hard, Rex Ryan.
The world's gift. Yodelé, hee hoo.
You think Sean McVay will yodel for you?
Do you think he's listening to how stupid we are right now?
Of random yodeling.
Yeah, me too.
We should just drop that throughout the show, Jorge.
No, not really.
All right.
Oh, absolutely. You're damn right I am.
So, hey, go ahead, John.
And let me ask you a question. I know we're waiting on Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that story I sent you that it looks like the Mets, they have a 3-game series against the Padres this weekend.
Correct. The start's tomorrow.
Okay, and they're going to start Max Scherzer in game one.
Yes.
And they're going to hold Jacob DeGrom. If they win game one, they're going to hold Jacob DeGrom in case that who's the guy that's going to pitch
Chris game? Chris Bassett is going to pitch game
yeah,
two.
Yeah, Chris Bassett's going to pitch game two. And that way, if they win it, they would have DeGrom to pitch game one against the Dodgers. What do you think of that idea?
Playing with fire. That's playing with fire. Don't get too cute for the room. I mean, if you got to win this, man. And by the way, I would question if Scherzer pitches game one and they were to come back with Chris Bassett in game two, I think they've got to come back with Jake DeGrom in game three if it's a deciding game on Sunday.
Of course. So, so here's the trade-off. I actually like it. I think that they're tipping the odds in their favor. And if Bassett wins game two, then DeGrom's all set to pitch game one against the Dodgers. The one issue is, the one risk with it is, and by the way, if the Mets lose game one, then they just pitch DeGrom in game two. But let's say the Mets win game one. They throw Bassett in game two, and they lose. So now they've got DeGrom for game three, and they win it and advance to play the Dodgers. Well, now you've burned DeGrom you lost a day in the playoff rotation. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
In other words,
you have to throw Taiwan Walker in game one, then maybe
come back
with Scherzer on game two.
Unless you come back with Scherzer.
Well, we know what happens when Scherzer comes back on short rest. Last year he had a dead arm. I don't want to play games with Scherzer.
Right. Well, you know what he says? I found this interesting.
Oh, what?
Scherzer says it wasn't that he pitched too much for the Dodgers. He said that he didn't pitch enough. He thinks that's what deadened his arm. He thinks he laid off throwing, and that broke him. So that's his theory. I don't know if he's right. But it wasn't from overthrowing. It was from underthrowing, in his opinion.
I think my personal opinion was it was when he came in out of the bullpen and threw that, he got that save, right? Or threw that last inning. I thought that was.
To get him through the first round.
Get him through the first round. But if I'm the Mets, I'm throwing Scherzer and DeGrom, bam, bam. I mean, I want to win the series. You cannot think about the opponent that is next. You got to win the game that's right in front of you. Your best chance to win in game two is Jake DeGrom. I'm throwing Jake DeGrom.
And the problem is, too, if you go to DeGrom in game three, you lose him for the first three games of the Dodgers series.
Right.
You don't get him until game four.
You delay his clock.
Yeah, you don't even get him until game four in that sense.
But you say you like it, John.
I do, for this reason. If it works, then you could throw DeGrom three times against the Dodgers.
Right.
If you needed to.
You did use the word.
Because the Dodger series is a best of seven, right?
Best of five. NLDS is best of five.
All right. So you could still throw them game one, game three, game five.
Well, one, game four.
There's no way you play. Scherzer and DeGrom are not going on short rest. Neither one of them.
Well, with the season on the line, they might.
I can't see. DeGrom just came off of Tommy John surgery. He hasn't even been pitching that long. You can't pitch him on short rest.
Well, you can if the series is tied 2-2 and your season is on the line.
But not DeGrom 1-3-5.
Too much.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to remember what...
You're bringing him back on 3 days rest twice.
What Hershiser did against the Mets in 88. I think he pitched three games in that series.
It can be done.
That may have been a best of seven. I don't remember.
Yeah, no, but it can be done. I mean, I've seen guys do it. If I'm the Mets, and especially I stumbled across the finish line.
Right.
They really went into the tank and gave up the division lead to the Braves. I don't think I'm messing around. I think I'm throwing Scherzer one, DeGrom two, and come back with Chris Bassett for game three or for game one against the Dodgers.
Well, the thing that could blow it all up is if the Padres win game one.
Right, then it all goes out the window, exactly.
Yeah, with whoever the best
player. I wouldn't sleep on the Padres. I wouldn't sleep on them.
I hope that I'm rooting for them because I want the Dodgers to play the Padres.
I'd much rather have the Dodgers play the Padres. Wouldn't you, Bergman?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. They own the Padres right now. I think they've won something like 19 of the last 25 or something like that. It's been a beatdown of them. So, yes, 100%.
Okay, so I want to do a little conversation here, Bergman. So, we haven't heard from Coach. Matthew Berry is coming up. What do you want to do?
So I'm trying to work it out with the Rams right now because we're getting too close to Matthew Berry.
So what do I do?
I'm talking to him right now.
I
will have an answer for you. Sure. I am in the middle of texting
in
with them
the
right
middle
now.
Of it. Okay. By the way, John, are you watching on Mason and Ireland Plus today?
No,
even Bergman. Are you on it, Jorge?
Yeah.
Jorge's on it. Bergman's on it. We got the four squares going. Have you looked at the YouTube?
No, I don't even know how to access it.
YouTube.com Search ESPN LA. That's it.
All right, I'll look for it.
It's easy. Easy. Do that. All right, coming up next, we're not exactly sure what's going to happen, but we will definitely, it'll either be Matthew Berry or Coach Sean McVay, or it's going to be Berry. Okay, so we'll do Talented Mr. Roto coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.